May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I start by asking a silly question? Do you think that Jesus was a flat earther? You know what I mean? I mean, one of those people who think that the earth is not a round ball, but a round disc. And if you travel right to the end of it, you'll fall off the other side. And there aren't a lot of people even today who are flat earthers. But in the ancient world, just about everybody believed that to be true. So, did Jesus? The silly question has rather an important point. And it's really to do with the humanity of Jesus. Did he have more knowledge of the world than his contemporaries? Did he, for instance, believe in the possession of the human spirit by demons? Or had he a more modern view about disturbed human minds? I only raise the question because so many people have worked their underwear into unmentionable knots over the incident we've just heard in the Gospel. If Jesus really believed in demon possession, they say, wasn't it immoral of him to send a whole herd of pigs to their death, even if perhaps, like all Jews, he believed pigs to be unclean? Well, you could argue about it all day if you feel passionate about it, which I don't. Let me simply say that I actually do believe that Jesus was completely human and therefore had no more knowledge about the world around him than his contemporaries had. But that he had, owing to his unique relationship with the Heavenly Father, a huge spiritual insight into the affairs of human beings. And furthermore, let's be straight about it, we don't have sufficient details about the story to conclude that he was actually responsible for sending the demons into the pigs. We mustn't forget that here Jesus was dealing with a very dangerous man, a man who thought he was possessed by 6,000 demons, because Legion had 6,000 men in the ranks. It was a man strong enough to break chains and fetters, a man who shrieked at the top of his voice, who threw himself around violently and attacked other people, a man enough to terrify a whole herd of pigs into a panic dash for the cliffs. But enough of that. Luke didn't hand down the story to focus on a herd of pigs. He shows us Jesus, calm and controlled, in front of a deranged man. Just as previously, he'd been calm and controlled during the storm on the lake. That point, you remember, the disciples had whispered among themselves, "Who can this be? Even the winds and the waves obey him." And now the people of the region of the Gerasenes beg him to leave them, because they too are overcome with fear. Who is this man? Let me point you to Psalm 65. It speaks about God. "He stilleth the raging of the sea and the noise of his waves, and the madness of the people." Well, Luke is proving the point in these two stories, but he's placing Jesus firmly in the center of the picture. In other words, what God does, Jesus does. And later, when the man, now in his right mind, wants to stay with Jesus, the Lord will have none of it. "Go home," he says, "and tell people what God has done for you." And so we're told the man went back and he told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. In other words, if you want to tell people about God, tell them about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. The writer Anatole France tells a story of two old men sitting in the Roman sunshine reminiscing. "Do you remember the incident of the carpenter?" asked the ex-army officer of his old chum Pontius Pilate. "Do you remember the carpenter? Jesus, he came from Nazareth. You had him crucified. Do you remember him, Pilate?" And the old man thought, "Jesus from Nazareth? No, can't recall him to mind. But you and I can. He is the one who called us out of darkness into the light of his fellowship and love. He is the one who has given us hope and faith, forgiveness and love. He is the one who has raised the horizons of our little lives into divine service. So go and tell them what Jesus has done for you." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.